You know, every once in a while, life serves you a delicious piece of peanut butter pie. And by peanut butter pie, I don't actually mean peanut butter pie. I mean, I've got the entire house to myself this Saturday night. Kristen and Dame, you're not invited over. But Dame, when's the last time you had for an entire weekend night, the entire compound to yourself, and you could do whatever you wanted?
I know one night specifically, about a year ago exactly, when the fam was in a different city for a swim weekend and I couldn't attend because I had COVID again. So that wasn't quite as enjoyable as what you're describing, but I would say there was probably a swim related event that I was left at home for in the last 6 months, and it is a unique feeling.
Well, I'm at full strength. Kristen, I want to tell you what a gentleman of my ilk might do on a Saturday night.
Okay.
All the world is my oyster. Because, I mean, look, there's options, Dame. Well, like, Mrs. Planner and my daughter are in a different state. Theodore is a sleepover. Like, I could go out to eat by myself. I could go see a movie. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the new Roadhouse on Amazon Prime, and I'm going to make Detroit-style pizza.
Oh,
that's what I'm doing. That's my Saturday night. I'm so excited.
What are you going to pair with that pizza?
Good question. I'm also going to make chicken wings. And probably consume a Bev.
It sounds like a great night.
I know. You kind of want to come over. Like, Dame, I know I'm not fun to hang out with, and you know that too, but you kind of want to come over.
It would be great to eat pizza and wings and share a Bev and sit on the couch and not say a word to each other watching Roadhouse. Okay.
Kristen, I am not officially, in a creepy way, inviting you over to my home alone this Saturday night, just for the record.
Got it.
But does it sound at all appealing to sit and watch Roadhouse, the remake, and eat Detroit-style pizza and wings and Bevs on Saturday night?
You guys, I can do that any Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, okay. Yes.
All right. Hello, everybody. Full squad back, right? The gender episode was a hit last week. I got some positive emails. We got some dissenting opinions from people, which is great. Like, look, you know, we love it, right, Dame?
Yeah, I wasn't here, so way to go, guys. Way to stir up some controversy while I'm gone.
Dame, did you catch any of it?
No.
Good. Perfect. we did receive a review on iTunes here recently.
True.
And to be, Dame, you don't read the reviews anymore, do you? Or are you?
No, I'm way past that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I never read the reviews. I don't actually care. But Kristen is still in the stage of her media career in which she reads the reviews. And she sent the following one through from last month. I've been tuning into financial podcasts for several years now. And let me tell you, most of them are as fresh as week old bread, recycled topics and ads galore. But then there's the PTP show, the Seinfeld of personal finance podcasts. It's about nothing. And that's what makes it gold. Sure, they throw in some solid financial info and banter, but what really shines are the hosts. Peter's humor. What is it? My mom write this? Yeah. Peter's humor is so suburban dad, it's practically wearing socks with sandals. Dame's got that high-class redneck vibe going strong.
I don't hate it.
And Kristen? Well, she's the glue holding these two together, keeping them from bickering over who had the better hairline in their glory days. That's really well written.
We can squash that debate immediately. It was you. I would be shocked if it wasn't you that had the better hairline.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
I think I liked my hair when I had it.
Well, anyway, yeah.
We can start calling Kristen Elmer.
Yeah.
Elmer's glue. The glue. Or rubber cement.
Oh, my.
Okay. I did write AI-inspired theme to the radio show this week, but we're in a hurry. We got to go. I have to be out of here in 50 minutes total, and I've just burned the extra 4 minutes. We got to start the show. Next week, maybe, I'll play the new theme song to the show. It's called Kristen & Co. Okay, start your clocks, ladies and gentlemen. In 3, 2, 1. This week on the Pete the Planner Show, we answer your money questions. Here's how the show works. You email us, askpete@petetheplanner.com. That's askpete@petetheplanner.com. And here's there's a number of things that could happen. As often happens when an email is sent into the nethers, nothing could happen. Or it could be read on a moderately popular radio show and a wildly popular podcast called the Pete the Planner Show. Hello, Damian Dunn. Hello.
Hello, Peter Dunn.
Hello, Kristen Elanius. Hello.
Hello.
I've got the caffeine in the right spot right now. Let's do a show. Hey, Dame, this week in the news, this isn't the news segment, but guess what happened? The real estate market got turned on its head forever in perpetuity, which is, I believe that means forever. Dame, how closely did you follow the real estate upheaval that was the last 2 weeks of life in America?
It's been a story that we've been following for a while because we saw this coming from a ways away. And it's interesting because depending on which avenue you're getting your information from, you either hear that this is going to be an absolute disaster or it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for buyers and sellers as well. So I don't know where I stand on it just yet. And I'm not entirely sure how it's going to get implemented across the country as well, because NAR doesn't cover every realtor in America.
Most.
Yeah.
So here's the news tidbit. National Association of Realtors in a settlement have agreed to not price fix commission rates at 6%, that they are negotiable. This is a massive deal that has frozen out people's ability to truly negotiate in good faith the amount they pay to realtors for these transactions. Before we discuss this, I mean, we got to hit the obvious here. We have nothing against realtors. Realtors are great. Like, it's true. I find them to be one of the most important types of financial advisors a person can have. But this is going to rock things up. Kristen, you recently purchased a home of which you are in right now.
Yes.
And you used a realtor.
I did.
Do you know what percentage you paid?
I didn't, because I was the buyer.
Okay, fair. Yes. Splitting hairs to a bald man is always a good time. But you do realize that, of course, there was commission on the deal and the seller had to deal with that. Do you know that what that percentage was?
I believe that it was 5.
Okay. So 2.5 to 2.5, I would assume would have been the split. 2.5 to the buyer's agent, 2.5 to the seller's agent. 6 has been the standard. For a while, it was 7. And so, Dame, what we're now understanding is there's going to be a race to the bottom. I mean, you could find people trying to do high volume at 1%. What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, it sure feels like it. And it depends on, are we going to see specialists for certain things? Are we going to see seller's agents that try and specialize in that? Are we going to see buyer's agents specifically? Like maybe they set up a menu of services that they could provide for their clients on the buyer side. You can pick and choose and pay directly, because it's very possible that when the seller puts this out there, they say, I'm not giving anything to the buyer's agent. And to make their services a little bit more accessible for their clients, maybe they choose to just kind of do flat rate stuff instead of percentages. I think there's going to be some very unique solutions that are developed in the coming years in this area. And we're only going to see the tip of the iceberg.
Kristen, you had some pretty hot takes at the your Moneyline headquarters this week when you journeyed down this way. And I saw you and you got pretty spicy with it. Care to share your thoughts, especially as it relates to when you're purchasing a home?
Yeah, I think it's the thing that's hard for me is, as someone who is an avid researcher, I have bought and sold both. I've lived in a couple different houses. And as an avid researcher, I felt like my ability to bring a lot to those conversations wasn't compensated for, or wasn't taken into consideration with the compensation model. The home that I purchased most recently, I did the majority of that research. Ooh. And that wasn't reflected in what the seller then paid, in my opinion. So that's where I kind of have an issue with it from a personality perspective.
At the closing of the purchase of the home, you didn't like get in people's face and say, do your research or anything like that, did you?
No, I did not.
Dame, what I think is possible here, and this is just a, I mean, this is a gut feeling. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be these tranches of home prices, and it's going to be standard deviations of what the average home price in America or in an area is. So let's just pick, let's say $500,000 is the average price of a home in America. Dame, I think it's in like the 400 range, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I think because there is a pool of properties and a pool of buyers, a marketplace that can come together and create that as the average transaction price, I think that there'll be like a 1 or 2% commission on that. And as things move from the standard deviation out, that's where you're going to see increased fees because it is theoretically more difficult at those price levels. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I am wearing a sport coat today. What say you?
It's an interesting theory. I mean, you're essentially saying that there's going to be breakpoints almost for charges or commissions in real estate, much like there are in some retail mutual funds, which I guess I could see that. My counterpoint would be, you know, we've talked about how financial advisors are compensated every which way on this show multiple times. Do you think there gets a point where some realtors just say, I've got a flat fee, all of this, all in, flat fee, and I don't care if you're selling your home for $300,000 or $750,000, this is what it costs to engage me to sell your home?
Well, Kristen, I mean, we've been having this discussion for as long as we've known each other collectively, the three of us. The reason that hasn't been the case is because it hasn't had to be the case. And for financial advisors, that was the argument for a very long time of like, yeah, you could do that, but that's not what the market supports. Just charge 75 basis points or a point on, or I mean, 100 basis points on $5 million, and there's your comp.
Yeah. And what's interesting is there's a parallel here for me from a money psychology perspective, mm-hmm. which is that the fees that are paid are just like part of the overall package. Like when you're selling your house, you don't have to write a check to the realtor for 5%. It's like, oh, here's what you made and here's what you owed and here's some taxes that needed to be paid and then here's your check. Or here's the amount that we're going to give for the new house for this mortgage. I just feel like the conversation is totally different if you make a seller write you a check for the commission.
Dame, do you think this lowers housing prices?
No.
I agree. Okay, so I was listening to the New York Times podcast this week about this, and they were like, well, people typically increase the price of the home by 6% to cover real estate fees. And I'm like, no, they don't. I don't believe that's true, New York Times.
No, I've never heard somebody say, well, we were going to sell our house for $300,000, but our realtor said we need to bump this up just a little bit to make sure we cover all the associated fees. No.
318. It's 318.
They come back and they say, this is what the market's going to hold for this house. Don't mind these other fees that are over there. Of course, they don't say that, but that's just it. That's not a consideration.
People keep asking, we're on a live stream right now and I am dressed in a nice sport coat and people keep asking, like, is there a funeral? Do I have a job interview? Am I selling a house later? Here's the thing, and it's just the truth. I have a business meeting with a gentleman this afternoon who happens to always be very well dressed and he's a lot more handsome than me. So I just had to do the best I could to match it with the dressing, obviously. All right, Dame, 1 year from now, what do you believe the average real estate commission to be?
All in. 4.5.
Kristen?
4.
3. Listen, we're going to come back with more of this show right after the commercial. And what it's going to be is an email from a listener. Could be you, might not be you. Ask Pete at PeteThePlanner.com. I'm Pete the Planner. Okay.
That was a good outro. I liked that.
You did?
Yeah.
I wish I could play the, let me see if I can play the, I'm going to play it.
Okay. The theme song?
Yeah, it's going to be weird audio because I wanted to hook it up, but and I don't have time for this, but what are you going to do? Here it is. Was it the twangy one?
Yes.
Okay, here it goes, everybody.
That town is gone, the old man wrong. It's a show called Chris down and go. Chris and Matt, Lee and Damien, Ball and Grouchy, but Chris is the star, young and sassy. Tune in to Chris down and go. Money matters and dreams are stolen. They'll guide you through your financial strife. With Kristen leading the way, it's a brand new life.
So AI wrote that, completely wrote that. I just filled in a few details and it wrote it.
Did you call me sassy or did AI just assume?
That's a great question.
I'm just curious.
You know what? Let me see. Country song about the Pete the Planner podcast. The show should be called Kristen and Co. because Kristen is the star. Damien and Pete are old grumpy bald men. Kristen is young and smart. Those were my instructions.
So it just nailed it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the show. We're doing the email from what's her name? Barbara Clarity?
Martha.
Sure. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner show, answering your money questions. Sometimes. We received an email this week from the most important listener we have. That person's name is, what's the person's name?
Martha.
Martha, never forget it. Sorry, I'm in a weird mood. Dear Pete, Kristen, and Dame, time out.
Granted.
Dame, the other day, I was talking about you, and I called you Damien to something.
Really?
And it shook me to my core. Because no one calls you that in this organization.
I say it had to be outside of our organization because I've told the people this story many times. Before working for Your Money Line, I could count on one hand the number of people that have ever called me Dame in my life. Yeah. And now there are people that don't know me by anything other than Dame. It's so weird.
Tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
My sister Patricia is a faithful listener. She has me hooked on your show, not only because I appreciate your humor, but the easiness associated with the feedback you all approach financial topics. I'm using my sister's email to ask, since you've responded to her before. My question is, I am 60 years old, retired medical doctor with a pension and no outstanding debt. I wonder if she's single, because that is great. 60 retired. I am not single, by the way. I might be after this show. I am considering a second home. However, it is a good decision. Is it a good decision to finance a second home? Well, can I get another timeout?
Sure.
When I first got my head around as a kid that people could have multiple properties, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You sort of figure, you're like, oh, they have two homes. For whatever reason, just like I used to think IU's mascot was a cactus, for whatever reason, I thought that people would just accumulate homes next to each other. So it's like, we have one home, I have two homes. And then you would just walk to the next door to your other home. I didn't realize that the concept was to have homes in different places.
Eventually, you just have a block. You probably got that from Monopoly.
That's what I was just thinking.
You know what? That has to be it. But now it turns out I have one of the world's foremost experts on money. I'm considering a second home. My primary home is paid off 5 years ago, and I placed the mortgage payments on a high yield at the time money market account at 5%. Each payment I've rounded up to $2,000 a month. Right now, the money market holds about $125,000, which I plan on using as a down payment for the second home. I don't have children, and I'm a widow. I have a small foundation that supports research. Time out.
You got to be careful with this.
Okay. Kristen does research.
Yes.
Kristen, are you involved with this research foundation? In the last segment, you were talking about all the research you do.
I'm not involved with this foundation, no.
This person has a small foundation that supports research, and she's a former, this is a remarkable human.
It really sounds like something that you would aspire to later in your life. The Peter Dunn Foundation. What would your foundation be called?
What would it be called?
It wouldn't be your namesake.
No, probably not. I would call it something like, I don't know. Anyway, I've always dreamed of a second home, but work was always a priority. Now it's feasible for me to make that dream come true. The home I'm looking at will be a small cabin of 950 square feet, which will cost, upon completion, of $380,000. I can't imagine the real estate fees on that. Please make some options as to what a 60-year-old woman should do to finance a second home, where there are other options I should consider. Thanks, Martha. This is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I did hear a thing the other day. This person said that this is her dream. It was a movie I was watching. They said, when you're 50, you don't have dreams anymore. You have nightmares and psoriasis, which I thought was a funny line. But anyway, what do you think, y'all?
Man, I think there's two different things here. Can Martha finance a house? And is Martha going to be comfortable financing a house? Martha, there are so many things that happen in our financial lives that, whether we want them to or not, lower our gut for risk. I think having a pension just lowers your gut for risk. Like, you just can't help it. And not having a mortgage just like reduces your risk tolerance. You just can't help it. And I wonder how someone in this position would feel without earned income specifically to say, now I have a liability when I haven't had one for years.
It's an interesting point. I mean, you proposed that having fixed income lowers your appetite for risk. Hmm. I don't know if I agree.
I agree with Dame disagreeing with Kristen.
What?
Yeah. We're all closer to having a pension. I mean, we don't have them, but we're old.
Yeah.
Dame, I agree with you.
If I know that the food's going to be on the table day in, day out, and there's going to be a roof over my head, regardless of what I do, I'm probably going to be more comfortable taking some swings because it doesn't matter.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Sure.
What?
It's an old saying. You've never heard that saying?
I have. Okay, but we're trying to do a show here, gentlemen. Oh. But are you too biased because you're personal finance experts? Is that actually true to the masses? Think about the people we work with that have fixed incomes, that have pensions, are taking Social Security, who, like, I don't think that that's true in mass.
Okay. So we focus on people's stability around here at Your Money Line. And so if that's the argument of people trying to find stability, that's one thing. But what a pension brings that not having a pension doesn't is certainty. And I believe certainty to be more valuable than stability when it comes to a person's retirement. So Dame and I can certainly articulate our comfort with a pension in that regard. But I think other people might just feel it and might not be able to put into words what it is that makes them feel good about their financial life. I don't know. What do I know? I mean, I know a lot, but what Dame knows a lot. Wait, let's answer her question. How about this?
Yes.
Should she, when she said 950 square foot cabin, I'm in. My buddy, friend of the show, Neil, he has like a 300 square foot cabin in the woods that is the most glorious place on the earth. It smells of whiskey and old records. And it is the most glorious place on the earth. I want Martha to get a small cabin. That's what I want.
Regardless, whether it's fine.
Right. Yeah. So I default to yes. Is anyone going to ruin Martha and I's dream here?
No. If the numbers work out and she is fine with it, I think she should do it.
I think she should do it too. And here's the thing: let's say it goes wrong, just sell it. and the commission on that's going to be really dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Oh my! I think this is much more about a money an emotional weight that we put on money more than anything else, and how we go from accumulation of money to then having to come away from those dollars and changing the structure of, presumably for the last 5 years, her financial reality has been pretty consistent. And this is a change. We just have to prepare ourselves for change. But I absolutely think that Martha should do this.
60. The other thing, here's the other thing, that 60 is young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your life. You have a dream. You've been a medical doctor. You have a foundation. Think of yourself. Go do it. Now, we can't say this to everyone who emails us because the circumstances don't dictate it. But like, YOLO is what I'm saying. Like, come on. I so badly want this to happen, because there's another way out of it if it goes wrong. That's the thing. It's not a permanent, like, you don't ruin your financial life by doing this. All right, let's take a break. Coming back after the break, more on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner. A Slack channel lighting up. I wasn't ready for it.
Oh, I have my mute notifications.
Oh, I never
mute notifications. Me too. Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Trying to pay attention to the show.
Whatever. Well, that was, we were both a little hot on that. We're paying attention.
Okay. Dame
Pete,
I was talking to Mrs. Planner last night, talking about like the things we've upcoming in the next month and a half, and we have to go to a black tie event at the end of April.
Uh-huh. No.
And I said, oh yeah, we got that. So I'm going to need to get my tuxedo, mm-hmm. Shape changed.
Sure.
And she's like, oh really, why? She made me say it. Because I look like I've been rotting on a southern beach like a sperm whale, like a bloated, gassy sperm whale. Uh-huh. And that's my carcass now, of which I'm gonna have to stretch fine fabrics over, and I need to alter the shape of the tuxedo.
Just don't let anybody with sharp implements get close to you. Exactly.
So I mean, there's something humbling about taking in a tuxedo to be largened. Okay, we got to go. In 3, 2, 1. Back on the Pete the Planner Show. Oh, I don't know why I said it like that. We had another question come in this week from a human non-sentient being. I've been an avid listener for years, and I've always appreciated the practical and empathetic advice you give. Recently, I found myself in a challenging situation and thought this might be something you could address on the show. I was very unexpectedly laid off from my job. And while, time out.
Ooh,
Dame, Very was bolded.
Okay.
I don't know, you're right. Like, I mean, very, and how very was it? Very. Like, that's, oh yeah. The uncertainty of, it feels like I'm making fun of this person by saying that, because they're about to talk about job loss. So I regret pointing the time out towards that. The uncertainty of how long it will take to find a new position is daunting. What steps should I take to manage my finances during this period of unemployment? What can I do now to position myself better for the future? I love this question. Sorry, I made a joke. Kristen, how do you begin to attack this?
Well, there's always a lot in the unsaid, as we discuss on this show, and someone who bolds very and saying they were very unexpectedly laid off from their job, I have concerns about what level of emergency savings are here.
Okay. Hmm. Oh. Oh. Dame, I'm so glad we went to her. Had you picked up on that as well?
No. No.
Wow. You're so right. The person was shocked because they were unprepared.
Right.
Okay. So this is a, how do you dig out of a hole and everything feels dark and there's not a lot of hope?
Potentially. I mean, maybe they're an avid listener. Maybe they take our advice about the importance of emergency funds. Or maybe what's probably more true is that we see this all the time on at Your Money Line is someone says, in a perfect world, I would have more in emergency savings, but I feel really secure. So I have a lower level because I feel like my gut for risk in this perspective is pretty high. And I would assume based on some of this language that that's what we're experiencing is someone who maybe has like 1 or 2 months of emergency savings and they knew they probably should have had 3 to 6, but they felt really secure where they were at and they had other goals they wanted to achieve.
Dame, how do you view this?
I'm just tickled that Kristen is now reading into questions the way that we it's beautiful. I love that.
She's great. We really ruined her.
Yeah. Just making wild assumptions based on very little knowledge. It's great.
With bold font. She's like, you know what? I bet this person's a German. It's like, what? How did you get that? Like, well, it's Helvetica.
Four very dark letters change everything. I think that this individual is probably unprepared, but they have an opportunity to become very, very familiar in dark, even very in dark, bold font, familiar with how much money they're spending on a week in, week out basis, because you don't have a lot of levers that you can pull right now. But that is one to some degree that you have complete control over how much money you're spending. And if you're asking the question, what can you do now to position yourself better for the future? That's it. That is one of the takeaways that you can walk away from this experience with, becoming intimately familiar with how you spend money, where you spend money, how much you need to live on in a, we'll go ahead and call it a crisis situation for you. Now, that doesn't necessarily help the immediacy of the income issue, but it will certainly stretch those savings that you have set aside as long as you possibly can.
Here's where my brain goes, and it's probably the wrong spot. And please, both of you, beat this up. First off, I don't know. I can't conceive of this being a reality for me. I'm just being honest. And in a couple different ways. Number one, I'm my own employer. Number two, I have an emergency savings, and the brain that I have that goes to solve this problem would also be the one that has theoretically an emergency savings. So that's where it's already off the rails. But if I'm in this situation, I think I would go and get a job immediately, just earning something. And this isn't like, go drive Uber, drive DoorDash. And I don't know why I use that voice. I think it is, I would just go find a job somewhere. Just earning something. Is that not a thing people do? How out of touch is the old man today?
That's really interesting, because something that I noted in my pre-show prep was social comparison or pressure to find a job quickly. Because if you're someone who wasn't expecting job loss, you might not have been perusing opportunities that you could be a good fit for. You might not even have a gauge on whether your comp was competitive or not, for better or worse. You might not know how many opportunities do or don't exist. And I think about, like, for this is different because I could see myself in this situation. I just messaged Pete yesterday on Slack and was like, if you're firing me, I'm busy. So this is like a constant fear of mine.
I just wanted to chat.
You know, are you available?
I was like, hey, are you available? I wanted to talk about work. She's like, if you're firing me, I'm not available. And I'm like, okay, what do we do? I'm not firing. I wanted to talk about a project.
So that's like a constant fear of mine, right? Like, it doesn't matter how many times someone could tell me that I'm doing a good job. Like, I'm always like thinking what could happen. So I think, like, okay, what if I like had a weekly dinner with like my parents or something, like Sunday brunch, and every Sunday they're asking me, Kristen, did you find a job yet? Kristen, did you find a job yet? The hiring process isn't sure. Like, even if you're any job that you're applying for could take 4-6 weeks for you to be hired at. And I think that social pressure of like, have you figured out the next step? There's shame that comes with that. We're talking about the next potential launch point of a career. If you're someone who is like really like career focused, you're talking about your next launch point. So I think that that's a hard thing to navigate.
I don't think that's exactly where Pete was going with it, though. He's saying go do something to bring some kind of income in. And you don't have to go find the equivalent position at another company. Just go get a job to get some income to try and make that savings last even longer.
But what about?
Yeah, I'm out there at Chick-fil-A, my pleasure, and that fast. You know what I mean? Like, I think, not on Sunday, and you got Sundays off. But that's what I was talking about. And again, is this the pseudo boomer in me? I don't know. But like my brain, every time I come to this situation, I'm like, yeah, I'm at Home Depot. I'm putting on an orange smock. Let's go.
I do think this question is particularly hard for you specifically to relate to because you have, if it's not happening, people, if you're listening in HQ2, this is not happening. But if the doors closed on YML today, you would have multiple offers by this time next week.
Staples, Office Depot.
Yes.
Yeah, like, man, I can do things. I have no skills. That's the thing. None. I'll say this. I've been interviewing people for a position here in the last couple months or whatever, weeks. And if someone has a gap in the resume or if they just went and hustled and did this or that, I would not look down upon that. But I know there's this idea of like, well, what are you doing now? Well, I pull custard at Culver's. I don't know if that's the verb, pull custard. Alas, it wouldn't bother me. Dame, have you ever pulled custard?
Nope.
Kristen.
I am not.
What's happening? I don't know what's going to happen next. All right. So the answer to this is, what's our answer to this nameless entity?
Get familiar with your spending. This is the one thing that you absolutely can do to make sure that you are more stable and prepared in the future.
Invest in crypto.
Thanks, Doug.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. We wish you the best of luck. I'd be a sandwich artist.
$16 to $20 an hour, I think I saw online for a sandwich artiste.
That's like $60 every 3 hours. Coming up after the break, the biggest waste of money of the week and the news right here on the Pete the Planner Show. I'm Pete the Planner.
What is happening?
I don't know. I had a weird week. I didn't sleep really well, as you may have gathered from our Wednesday stand-up meeting. I looked like the meme of like Kermit as the evil emperor in Star Wars. I had a hood up, and then like I've come back.
In person, that was a little bit more of a jarring experience.
Oh, you were there in person.
I was. I was like, I didn't know how to ask if that's how you normally are at the office.
I woke up on Wednesday morning. I went to bed like 10:30. I woke up at 1, and that was it. I was up, and I was just like,
ew.
Yeah. So welcome to 40. Okay. Dame, who has the best emoji game in your home?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Me.
Oh, me. Wow. What happened there?
I don't know.
Something maybe might have muted my audio.
That was weird.
Oh, I thought meaning I
was,
you?
Yeah. It was this finger that had muted my audio.
Kristen, you or your person, who has the best emojis?
Me. He's old.
Yeah. Okay. You know, our coworker, Mary, great emoji game.
Yes.
Whew. Killer. Okay. I'm accused of having weird emojis by my children.
So what do they know?
Apparently more than me. Let's start the show in 3, 2, 1. This week's biggest waste of money of the week right here on the Pete the Planner Show is this little thing here. This is the Mont Grappa Anytime by Paolo Favoretto Perpetual Calendar Pen. Designed to magnify writing moments, the debut luxury silhouette from Progettista pen collector Paolo Favoretto augments the essential of the writing with Italian inventiveness. an integrated perpetual calendar mechanism optimizes sleek, ultra-efficient form while enhancing function, analog ingenuity to focus the mind and seize the day. This is a pen for important work. So it is a pen, and in the cap of the pen, it's a perpetual calendar.
Yeah.
So A, this is just stupid. Just like, who cares? All right. What are we thinking, folks?
I have to know more. Is it battery powered? Is it automatic? Is it a wide mechanism? How is this calendar run? Do you have to click it every day?
That's a good question. Part of me is just like, you're just clicking. Seamlessly integrated three-notch dials adjust date, day, and month with haptics and mechanical locking adopted from our acclaimed ratchet piston fill mechanism. Dame, I think you do it yourself.
Then it is dumb.
It's dumb either way, but then you have to look at your phone that has the date to check to see if the date on your pen is up to date.
Prior to packing, each is adjusted to record its production date. Okay. Wait, so that means it's not actually automatic.
Yeah, it's not.
They take it back and then you get, because it arrives. Oh, this is the best.
This is dumb.
Okay, Dame, how much is this piece of garbage?
$650.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that sounded like a, ooh, you're too low.
It comes in rollerball and fountain pen. I, of course, am counting the fountain pen.
I'm going to adjust. $250.
Okay.
So then in the middle, $400.
2,595 pounds.
Wait, I don't know what that means.
Whatever. Dame, what's in the news this week?
Intel got an $8.5 billion government grant to build chip factories. Time out.
What? Granted.
Best chips, Pete. Doritos, poker, or the sitcom chips.
Oh, Ponch and John brought big chaps energy. They'd get on those motorbikes, and sometimes they'd protect their loins with like a leather material, and other times they just rode more kind of without chaps.
That's enough.
Okay. I almost went a direction Doritos, I didn't want to go.
Doritos, poker, or the TV show Chips?
I hate that. I hate that.
What about you?
I don't even know what the last thing is that you're talking about. I feel very confused. And you guys know I love Doritos and cottage cheese. What do you think I'm going to pick?
How about you, Dame?
I'll go with TV show.
Okay.
It's the largest grant awarded so far under the CHIPS Act to spur U.S. semiconductor production, and Intel plans to use it to build and expand facilities in Arizona, Ohio, New Mexico, and Oregon. Intel could also be eligible for another $11 billion in loans under the same legislation, a signature piece of the president's economic agenda that Congress passed in 2022. Okay, I thought that was great, too.
Can I...
What's happening? What happened to the show?
You're on Slack. Can I ask a question?
There's three of us. You guys can say things.
Very loaded. Yeah, but Dame just read the segment, and I don't know what chips are. What? Oh my, that's an image.
Eric Estrada.
The Intel got grant money from the government. Mm-hmm.
That seems problematic.
Like, my question is, like, they needed it?
Well, they're doing it because there's a lot of concern about sourcing semiconductors from Asia, and they want this production to be done domestically so that if something happens overseas or we have a little dust up with somebody, we still have access to our own semiconductors.
That's why when you said timeout, I said granted. Did you not catch that?
I caught it.
Okay, because that was pretty good.
It was.
What else is in the news?
Yeah, let's move on from that. That was a disaster. Sorry about that. I got derailed when we started talking about chips. All right. After finally recovering from social media barrage over VR goggle mockery, Apple is about to enter a much bigger battle. The Justice Department joined 15 states and Washington, D.C. in suing the tech giant over allegedly monopolistic practices, citing everything from Apple's secretive tap-to-pay chip to its green text bubbles. The 88-page suit basically is a greatest hits collection of every critic's gripes with Apple, and highlights include the App Store, how Apple keeps its systems under lock and key, Apple Pay, and more. So what's next? It'll likely be years before we find out if Uncle Sam gets to take a bite out of Apple. In the meantime, the lawsuit means the DOJ, which promised to crack down on corporate monopolies, has now completed its punch card of suing every big tech company, including Amazon, Google, Meta, and now Apple, on antitrust grounds.
Kristen, do you feel better about this republic we live in now after this story?
Yeah, I have a lot of peace. I can sleep at night.
Can I give a news bit gripiness that I've got here for us today?
Of course.
I am generally in support of various types of student loan forgiveness. I just am. I am. Especially public service loan forgiveness. I really appreciate President Biden's focus on student loan forgiveness. I find it incredibly sincere that he's continuously taking credit for public service loan forgiveness under his administration. It makes absolutely no sense to anyone who actually understands how any of this works. It has nothing to do with him. This is 10 years worth of payments people are making that just happened to be done while he is the president. Kristen, am I missing something here?
No, I think that as someone who is obsessed with student loan forgiveness programs, no one is more obsessed than me. It makes me very frustrated when there is what I feel is misinformation from either side of the political aisle about the programs in general. Like, it's very, very, very difficult for me when I see like news stories or headlines in the space.
It makes you think about all the things we don't actually understand, because we do understand student loans that people take credit for. And we're just like, oh, yeah, they did that. It's like, well, did they? Because you didn't forgive everybody's student loans. They've been working in public education for 120 months making payments, and he just happened to have gotten elected. I have no problem with him in general, but that is just such an insincere claim that all of these people are getting student loan forgiveness under him. It makes no sense.
Yeah, to your point, it's very interesting about like what things might I not understand, that, and no one has the time. No one has the time to be an expert in everything. And so I'm sure I have tons of bad takes on similar news headlines.
Dame, do you feel like I'm baiting you?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with him and everything to do with him all at the same time, because that's how politics works.
That's true. Dame hates everybody, but in a good way. Time for one last pithy news story for the week.
Yeah, sure. Come with me on a little trip, Pete. Mm. I want you to close your eyes and envision what I'm describing. The lighting is warm and bright. The aisles are broad, and shelves display $50 silk sleep masks and soft comforters begging to be touched. Mm. Where are you?
First class on a Delta flight.
Wrong. That's a deluxe Walmart, Pete. That's the new version of Walmart coming to a town near you. They're building 800 locations in the U.S. to improve lighting, add mannequins, lower displays, and feature high-end products. That's right. Racks of blazers and cargo utility pants coming soon to a Walmart near you.
High-end Walmarts.
Yes.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
We did it.
It's amazing. All right. Daddy's going to go make some Detroit pizza now.
All right.
Kristen, good to be with you. Dame, send you good vibes, because good vibes are all that's in the budget. I'm Pete the Planner, Pete the Planner Show. Hey, here's the good news. I'm on a webinar with one of our largest clients in about 12 minutes. I hope my energy's in the right place.
I'm sending Molly a message now.
Oh, man. What a weird day.
Oh, that was beautiful. We did it, Joe. Oh, man. That's great.
All right, I got to go. Here's the thing. The next time I see you, I will have consumed a great meal along with Jake Gyllenhaal in the Roadhouse remake.
Send us a picture
of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nah.
Nah.
You like a Jake Gyllenhaal, Kristen?
I'm a Swiftie.
What?
What does that mean? I don't know.
Oh, no.
You're like, geez, toasters are my friends. Like, what? I don't know. Culturally, how are they related?
Culturally, just go talk to Ellie today. Just, it's, she'll fix it.
Which song of hers is about him?
All Too Well.
Oh.
That's,
okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal? Know. Do you like Jake Gyllenhaal?
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, honestly.
Didn't he play Spider-Man once?
James Garfield.
There have been several. That's why I'm not sure.
No, whatever.
You guys, I have to get on a webinar.
I know.
out in Salt Lake City. So good day. Hey, everybody. Stay getting money.